Speaking on this program is James Watkins.
In Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, we find the Apostle Paul saying, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your forbearance be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. In nothing be anxious, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. A wonderful passage of Scripture. Some good people have difficulty with that first verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. When you look at the economy today, when you observe conditions generally, when you see the joblessness that has occurred, when you observe the poverty in this whole world, when you note those things, the conditions that prevail in our world, wars and disturbance, it's very difficult to rejoice. You know, one of our problems is we want to base all of this teaching on the mundane, the earthbound, the material, that which may be observed with the physical senses. Notice what Paul is saying. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. You know, that gives us an insight into Romans, doesn't it? Chapter 8, about verse 26. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and who are the called according to His purpose. As someone says, you mean that everything that occurs in the life of a Christian is good? That isn't what he's saying. No, the Christian lives in this world. He is therefore subject to all of the changes and the hardships and the difficulties that apply and accrue to the lives of other people. All things work together for good to them who love the Lord and who are the called according to His purpose. Because, you see, those who are called according to the purpose of God, who yield themselves in humble obedience to His will, recognize who they really are and what their basic real needs are. Now, sure, we have physical needs while we dwell in this whole world, but all of this is temporary. The happiness and the joy, the basis for my ability to rejoice, is found in the fact that I am properly related to Him who sustains me in time and in eternity. God has promised that all things work together for good to those who love Him. I remember the writer of Hebrews made the statement in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, beginning. He said, be ye free from the love of money, content with such things as you have. For Himself hath said, I shall in no wise forsake thee. Oh, wait just a moment. God is saying, I'll never leave thee. I will in no wise forsake thee. So then we can say with good courage, the Lord is my helper. Whom shall I fear? What shall man do unto me? What are you saying, preacher? Friend, you travel through this world, and it is a very brief journey. And sure, negative circumstances occur. Well, there is pain, affliction, and ultimately there will be physical death. But then, as we said, all of that is physical. All of that is passing. All of that is temporary. If you gain the whole world, lose your soul, and miss the whole point, you are an immortal spirit. And when you place your faith in Him who said, I'll never fail thee, neither will I in any wise forsake thee, then you don't have to worry about what man can do or what material circumstances may produce in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. What do I really need in this world? Food, clothing, and shelter. That's not a difficult arrangement, really. It is for some people because they are unwilling to work and they have no feeling of responsibility. But if we dedicate our lives to the Lord, then we are diligent employees. That is, we labor not with eye service as men pleasers, but in the fear of God, we do the very best we can with the talents that we have. Oh, and let our people learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Titus chapter 3 at verse 14. Oh, that's the way God supplies our needs. Oh, and in the meantime, I don't really have to be overly anxious about material circumstances. Because, as Paul said, for me to live is Christ, you say. Well, that's a genuine joy to share the love of God with our fellow man. To die is gain. What? To live is Christ. To die is gain. That's really what life is all about, because whether you like it or not, you're going to die. Have you made preparation? Are you living for the Lord? Are you in a relationship with Him who said, I'll never fail thee, neither will I in any wise forsake thee? Oh, that provides for your happiness and your welfare. Rejoice in the Lord always. The first Psalm, we've noticed that a number of times, haven't we? Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And on His law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who bringeth forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf also doth not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. Now, of course, the wicked are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the wicked shall not stand in the congregation of the righteous, nor the ungodly in judgment. Oh, no, no, no. God knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. But just a moment. What's that? Blessed. That word blessed means happy. Happy is the man who does what? Who refuses to walk in that which is counter to God's divine instruction. Oh, and ordered his life by that instruction. Follows in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. He orders his life by a thus saith the Lord. Well, that's what Paul said in our text, isn't it? Rejoice in the Lord always. Oh, if you're going to depend upon material circumstances to provide the basis for your joy and happiness, you're not going to rejoice very much, and you won't be happy for very long, for nothing here really remains permanent. Oh, but in the instruction contained in God's Word, I have the ability to surmount these difficulties as they occur. Oh, yes. And to deal with the temptations that Satan may place before me. Oh, and to overcome the obstacles that are placed in my pathway. You see, there is no temptation taken man, but such as man can bear. For God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able to bear. Isn't that verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 10? Say, oh, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God himself cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Oh, but each man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And the lust, when it hath conceived, beareth sin. Oh, and the sin, when it is full grown, bringeth forth death. You can read that in James chapter 1, beginning about verse 13. Ah, yes. So then, if I order my life by a thus saith the Lord, if I make up my heart and mind that I'm going to walk in the footsteps of the Master. Oh, then I don't have to worry about existing circumstances. Pleasant? No, they won't be pleasant. As a matter of fact, the Lord makes that very clear, doesn't He? Didn't He say in Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 37, think not that I came to bring peace to the earth. No, no, I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I came to set a man at variance with his father, a daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own house. Wait a minute, Lord. That's not a basis for rejoicing. That wouldn't produce happiness. What is he actually saying? Well, you have observed this, of course, many times. When one in a family yields himself in humble obedience to the Lord's will, that makes him a Christian, a child of God. He's going to order his life by a thus saith the Lord. Now, if his family or a mother or a father belong to some human institution, then they're going to take issue with what he believes. Say, when you really stop to think about it, who was it that crucified Jesus Christ? The prostitutes? The ungodly? The thieves? No. if they had honest hearts, they responded to what he taught, repented, and gave their lives to him. That's wonderful. If they didn't have an honest heart, then they just walked off and left it. They didn't. No. It was the religious people who condemned Jesus Christ. You see, religious prejudice is a terrible sin. And as we've often said, religion is the greatest hindrance to the spread of Christianity that exists in the world today. You see, it is prejudice that persecutes the child of God. So I came not to bring peace, but a sword. Oh, in the sense that when one obeys the gospel, the religious world is opposed to him because he stands for the truth. Others stand for various things, manuals or disciplines or catechisms or confessions of faith or the ideas and opinions, etc. No. Makes you singular. Makes you unusual. Matter of fact, when you give your life in obedience to the Lord, it makes you the object of persecution. Yea, all who would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3 at verse 12. There's no question about that. They crucified Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was wicked? Because he broke the law? Because he... No. Because he was righteous. Because he came to do the will of the Father. Who crucified him? Religious people. Well, why would religious people who claim to believe in God crucify God's Son? That's a good question, isn't it? Rejoice in the Lord. Say, that'll create a problem. Say, you're going to be persecuted. There's no... But my rejoicing comes from the fact that I know that I'm walking with the Master. Yes, sir, and all things that work together for good for the child of God is in consequence of the relationship that he saints to him who said, I'll never fail thee, neither will I in any wise forsake thee. So then, we with good cheer can say, the Lord is my helper. Yeah, what was it that David said? Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Right? The Lord is my shepherd. Consequently, I shall not want. He supplies my needs. He gives me peace of mind. He provides for me a proper, solid foundation built upon the rock, the eternal truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Oh, that's why Paul commanded Timothy to preach the Word. No, not his opinions, just the Word. That's why Peter said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. So base your faith upon a thus saith the Lord, and then as Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. Yea, I say rejoice. Let your forbearance, that is your gentleness. What? Preacher, if you're going to be persecuted for righteous living, how can you remain gentle? That's what Christianity is all about, I say, gentleness. Whoso smiteth thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. What is the Lord saying? Yes, me? No. What he's saying is the physical man is secondary. It is your relationship to God Almighty that counts. Jesus Christ could have destroyed those who spat in his face, but no, he came to save them. Oh, you could react negatively to the persecutions that you endure because you're trying to be righteous. That wouldn't be righteousness. No, say. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentleness be made known unto all men. When you follow Jesus Christ, friend, you're a peacemaker. Ah, yes, blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the sons of God. You're not a peacemaker with a fast gun. No, you're not a peacemaker with a negative reaction to existing circumstances. You are a peacemaker when you follow the principles of peace laid down by the Lord. Yes, but the Lord, the world doesn't agree with that. You're going to be right. But your security comes in the knowledge of the fact that you are an immortal soul. That's why Jesus said, fear not him who can destroy the body. After that, hath no more that he can do. But rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Oh, where do you place the emphasis in this life? Now, if it's on the material, upon the physical, you won't be able to rejoice very much. Not a very few occasions for rejoicing. And most things in this world are negative. And besides that, if you were the happiest fellow on earth, hey, things change. And you're not going to maintain that ability to rejoice and be happy forever. No, no, you're going to go blind, and you're going to be deafened to some extent. The old flesh is going to need ironing, and the strength that you once had, the alacrity and skill of the that's going to fade. You can't keep it here. You can't hold it. There is nothing here that provides a basis for genuine joy, happiness, or rejoicing. It just isn't. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your patience, your gentleness be known unto all men. Well, someone says, preacher, how could I owe the next day, for the Lord is at hand? What? The Lord is at hand. You know, the marvelous thing about the Almighty is that not a sparrow falls to the ground without His knowledge. And friend, He loves you. He allowed His Son to die to redeem your soul. All you need to do is from the heart yield your life in humble obedience to His will, motivated by love. You see, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. 1 John 5 and verse 3. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. John chapter 14 and verse 15. Oh, this is the basis for my rejoicing. The love for God that enables me to submit to His will, then that's security. I don't have to worry about the physical things. Sure, they're going to occur. No, they're not all going to be good. Some of them will bear directly upon me, providing pain and maybe illness, and you just never know what's going to take place in this world. Oh, that's the good thing about walking with Christ. It doesn't matter what occurs in this old world. The important thing that matters is that one day I'm going to stand before Him justified by His grace. Yes, sir. It is the unmerited favor of God that provided through the instruction contained in the blood-sealed covenant of the Son of God for my salvation. So I'm going to base my faith, yea, my hope, upon a thus saith the Lord. Then I don't have to worry about existing material, physical circumstances. No, no, just do the best I can in my service to the Lord, and that shows in my service to my fellow man. My honest effort to share the good news of human redemption, sure, to give of myself and of my substance for the betterment of others, and to treat all men with gentleness and equity, honesty, sincerity. Render to no man evil for evil. Provide things honorable in the sight of all men. Ah, yes. Avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place unto the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. Or if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Oh, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. What's he saying? Place the emphasis in life where it belongs. That's upon the spiritual, because I don't control the physical. And I'll only be here for a very short time. And I'm going to pass from these familiar scenes. And so the basis for rejoicing is the knowledge that you're walking in harmony with the Lord's will. Now notice he said, in nothing be anxious. just a minute, preacher. Man, you look around, you can't help but worry about, friend, that's the very thing the Lord is talking about. The basis for your ability to rejoice in this whole negative material world is the same foundation upon which you stand and thus avoid worry or anxiety. No, no. God is my helper, say. No, He provides my needs. Worry? What good would that do? I mean, how would that help the situation? What would my anxiety, my worry, change in this whole world? Well, it wouldn't be. As a matter of fact, that'd be a sin if I claimed to believe in the omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent God. That is, He is all-powerful, powerful, He's all-knowing, and He's everywhere. Oh, and not a sparrow falls to the ground without His knowledge. And I'm made in His image and His likeness. Friend, He loves me. Worry would be an indication that I don't have faith in Him. Now say it. He can't do what He promised to do. Yes, He can. And He has, and He will. So, I'm not going to worry. In nothing be anxious. No, no. Well, how can I prevent that, preacher? Being a physical being in a physical world, how can I keep from worrying, being anxious? Oh, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. A friend, He is in control. Yes, sir. He is concerned with my welfare. He has provided through the sacrificial death and subsequent resurrection of His Son for my salvation, for my security, even in this old world. Oh, indeed. That's what salvation is all about. Well, He's not going to desert me in times of difficulty. No, no. But He does require me to focus properly, to put the emphasis on the proper things. You know, when you read the Old Testament, Jeremiah, for instance, faithfully testified, speaking God's will to ancient Judah, and they paid absolutely no attention. As a matter of fact, they began to think he was a traitor. And finally, he was carried against his will down into Egypt. Sure. Oh, but the thing about it is, he was a servant of God. God provided for him. Joseph sold by his brethren, age 17, into slavery. Oh, God had a purpose for him. He maintained his fidelity. Everything worked out fine. God used him to save Israel. Friends, what I need to do is place the emphasis properly, not upon the physical. This isn't going to endure. And nothing here will provide. It cannot form the basis of my genuine rejoicing and happiness. It's out of the question. The only thing that provides for my happiness is, thus saith the Lord, applied to my thoughts, speech, and conduct. Sure, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Problems arise? Oh, in all things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, talk to God about it. Let your request be made known unto Him. Oh, and the result of that? Oh, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Genuine, lasting peace. When does this come? When you put your trust in Him who said, I'll never fail thee, neither will I in any wise forsake thee. So we don't have to worry about what the world might do to us or what existing circumstances may do as they are brought to bear upon our lives. No, no, that's all physical. As Paul said, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, while we look not at the things which are seen, no, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, temporary. They won't, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Oh, and we know that if the earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Friends, that's the basis of our rejoicing. This is the spiritual foundation upon which we can be secure in the knowledge of the fact that we belong to God, to Him who said, I won't fail you. No, I'll never leave you. Now say, you can trust Him. You can walk with Him. Happy is the man, oh, who spends his time in the application of these eternal principles, who refuses to walk in the way of the ungodly or to stand in the way of sinners, or to sit in the seat of the scornful. No, no. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth he meditate day and night. That word blessed, happy. Happy is the man. Yeah, but somebody says he may be as poor as Job's turkey. That has nothing to do with it. No. You are an immortal spirit. Oh, no, no. He doesn't attain to the same level of many people in this old world. He doesn't make a name for himself. He doesn't accumulate a great deal of wealthy. What is it? He needs food and clothing and shelter. And what did you say, Lord? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and no problem. That's provided. Verse 33, Matthew chapter 6. Friends, we need to put our trust, our faith in God Almighty, in full recognition of the fact that I am answerable only to Him. Everything here will pass. Nothing here will endure. Rejoice in the Lord always. In Philippians 4 at verse 4. Friend, rejoice in the Lord. When you give your life to the Lord, and that requires faith, without it you can't please God, Hebrews 11:6. And you must turn away from the willful practice of sin and error, that's repentance, and accept your defense, you'll perish, Luke 13:3. Oh, and confess Christ before men, Romans 10:9 and 10, and that's no problem when you believe in your heart that He is indeed the Son of God. Oh, but to get into Christ, you're baptized into Jesus Christ, Romans 6 at verse 3. And there's only one baptism. Now, when you are in Christ, oh, then rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. You see, in Christ, there is security. The old man of sin is done away, Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. You're under the protective custody of the blood of Christ, 1 John 1 at verse 7. Give your life to the Lord and rejoice in Him. Amen.